Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Rachel Bernstein and Alyssa Black, authors of the IBM Center Report, A Guide for Making Innovation Offices Work. Rachel, in determining whether and how to establish an innovation office, certain factors should be considered. For instance, a vague desire to encourage innovative practices to flourish within government is not a good enough reason to establish a dedicated innovation office. Why must decision makers carefully consider the mission and desired impact of these offices and critically evaluate them against whether existing structures can perform this stuff more effectively?
I think that there has been a tendency in the past for governmental staffers to say, oh, you know, innovation, that's something that we should be doing. It's kind of the buzzword of the moment. But for many, it's been unclear about how to pursue that mission or even to figure out what innovation might mean within the context of their own government, right? Because it will look different in different places. And so I think one of the goals of this report is to urge people who might have been considering creating a chief innovation officer post within their governmental organization to take a step back and to say, okay, why are we doing this, right? Is it something that we just think we should have to keep up with the Joneses, or is this something that's actually going to advance a particular set of priorities that we've identified more generally for our government, right? So it shouldn't be doing this work on its own. It should be working toward a larger mission that the government as a whole is pursuing. And I think that that's particularly important in government as opposed to other sectors, because governments are stewards of public resources and they have an obligation to use resources effectively. So not every model is right for every outcome. And in fact, in some cases, an innovation office or a chief innovation officer post is not appropriate. And so we want people who work in government to take a step back and to really consider whether this is the right approach, and if it is, what kind of model is going to help them achieve their larger end, because the risk of not doing that work initially to figure out whether it's appropriate is that you spend resources on something that's actually, you know, window dressing rather than doing the work that you're charged with doing as a governmental staffer.
Alyssa, to what extent should government leaders weigh the resources that potential partners bring to the table?
Yeah, that definitely is correct. And I think because resources are so constrained, or what we've seen is that they're so constrained, oftentimes there's a push to develop partnerships without understanding exactly what resources those potential partners bring to the table and add. And so in deciding kind of the mission of the Innovation Office and some of the strategies and goals, understanding clearly what the partners bring to the table. So for example, if there's a tech community in your area or within your organization that you want to leverage, that understanding that they have the tech talent will allow you then as a chief innovation officer to develop and identify the other resources that you might either need on your team or other partners that you might want to partner with. You know, thinking of and kind of longer term around public-private partnerships, if we're talking about private actors, those partnerships take a lot of time to manage. And so also being sensitive and aware of the type of management that is required just in that relationship and in those partnerships needs to be considered and weighed and balanced in thinking about the ultimate mission and goals of the organization. But I think in a lot of cases, because innovation offices and chief innovation officer posts, and then more broadly government, is resource constrained, identifying those really strong partnerships can be very valuable. And they can also, when we think about local government, really anchor the work that's coming out of the innovation offices into the community. And so that also creates a stronger, more sustainable projects that come out of those organizations.
Alyssa, politics can easily derail efforts to create an innovation office or render existing innovation offices ineffective. So why is it so important for decision makers to assess the political will that supports and sustains the existence of an innovation office?
It's critical. In almost all of the interviews that we conducted for this report, leadership and buy-in from the top was one of the mission critical things that were needed to support successful innovation office. And so while politics can easily derail programs and even offices, innovation offices, or derail their efforts, they are also totally necessary. And so we've seen examples, and we heard examples of where just even having a desk near a high-level executive that's making decisions, whether that's an agency head or a mayor, that the proxy to that power and proxy to the buy-in from that individual allows an innovation officer, particularly when they are not a career bureaucrat and maybe have come from outside of government, it really gives that person the authority and the credibility to then go and do some of the really difficult work that we described earlier, like culture change, like public engagement, like rolling out new innovative technologies and trying to get a large workforce to take more informed risks. And so having that proxy to a decision maker and really getting that buy-in from the top is definitely critical.
So actually, Rachel and Alyssa, I'd like to get your perspectives on this. There are many alternatives for encouraging innovation for those who decide an innovation office is not useful or achievable. Would you elaborate on the alternatives to innovation offices you outline in your report for the IBM Center? To what extent do these alternatives for promoting innovation need to correspond to the initiative's desired impact and mission?
Sure. I think while we do list some alternatives to innovation offices, certainly, you know, we haven't done a deep dive in this area, and there are a lot of people who are thinking about this in a much more comprehensive way. That said, I think one of our big messages is that an innovation office isn't right for every organization, and a real thorough assessment of the resources and the mission and the best way to achieve that mission needs to be conducted before a decision is made about whether to create a chief innovation officer post. That said, there are a lot of other projects and approaches for encouraging innovation or for pursuing particular projects within government that might be related to innovation. Among those are training programs for selected staff, membership in organizations that promote knowledge sharing around government innovation so that there's a community of people who are thinking about these issues together, and that people who are charged with thinking about innovation in government aren't just doing so within their own particular government. There are changes that can be made in recruiting practices to attract different types of skills to government and different approaches to work that might be helpful in creating more of a culture and a commitment to innovation among governmental staff. There are public-private partnerships that can be pursued within individual departments and don't require a separate organization. And I think that raises a larger point, right, which is that innovation projects or innovation-related projects can be pursued within existing departments. So Alyssa mentioned open data before. If figuring out a way of opening data and working with community organizations or others on finding ways to use that data is the priority, perhaps an innovation office isn't really the best approach. Maybe that there are ways that can be built into an existing IT department or the portfolio of a chief information officer or others working within government, right? So where it's a project as opposed to a larger set of goals, then it might make sense to build this into the existing department. But I think the one other point that I'd like to make about these alternatives is that we shouldn't assume that these don't require resources, right? So the approaches that I just mentioned require funding, they require personnel, they require political will. They may or may not require as much of that as an innovation office. But as with the innovation office, it needs to be tied to the goal, the desired outcome, and the desired impact of the sort of general interest in innovation.
Mm-hmm. And I would just add to Rachel's comments that, you know, we've talked in this interview about a number of the things that need to go into creating an innovation office and making it kind of successful and sustainable. I think in the absence of those, having some of those factors or the mission identified or the different structure behind or the leadership or political will, there's a way to, and I think we get at this a bit in the alternative section, but there's a way to leverage really creative and passionate people that work in government that are inspired and are innovative to kind of change their or work within their existing systems to solve really challenging problems that either they face in their internal work or that they see with the communities that they serve. And so there are opportunities to either bake in and chip away at and improve the different processes that people work within on a daily basis by kind of leveraging those creative, inspired government staffers that are in every level of government and giving them the opportunity to be successful and to be innovative in the absence of an innovation office.
So, Alyssa, once created, innovation offices need to show value to the government entities they serve and demonstrate that they can fulfill the mission for which they were set up. Measuring how effective the innovation office delivers on its promise is not easy. Can you describe ways that innovation officers can measure their progress on internal and external change?
Definitely. And I think part of the reason why this is difficult to measure and why we're not seeing a lot of the measurements coming out of innovation offices yet is because they're so new and emerging. And so there's still a lot of conversation around what should the measurements be. And so our report is really to give a sample of what we think some of those measurements can be. And so in thinking about the internal mission innovation offices, which are focusing on collaboration, efficiency, and willingness to take informed risks, systematizing processes, and maybe attracting different types of talent. Some of those sample measures for those internally focused mission offices could be looking at maybe the number of jointly proposed and executed projects. So when we're wanting to measure collaboration, we might want to look at that. We might also, in thinking about collaboration as our goal, want to look at resource allocation to collaborative projects as a percentage of departmental budgets to show the priority and visibility of projects. So really demonstrating that as a department, you're actually prioritizing collaboration across projects. When we think about efficiency, you might want to measure projections of cost saved over time, even with possible initial spending increases. So is there cost savings as a result of some of the projects that you're working on? And is there maybe a decline in staff time dedicated to executing targeted processes? So again, just looking for those efficiency gains and measuring that. I won't go through all of them because they're extensive, but those are a few for the internal change. I think one of the ones around, again, still talking about internal, around attracting talent that is really interesting is looking at the diversity of platforms through which candidates learn of opportunities as compared with the past. I formerly worked in local government in New York City and in San Francisco, and attracting talent, while there are a lot of talented people working in government, making particularly local government attractive as a career possibility is really challenging. And so trying to figure out how do we leverage all of those existing hiring platforms that are and job posting platforms that are available today, like LinkedIn and others. If we look at the external mission organizations, offices, which just to reiterate from our previous conversation, but are looking at improving the relationship between public and government, which might be a goal of an external office, or improved relationships between business organizations and government, so those public-private partnerships. Some of the external missions could work to promote greater transparency in government decision-making, and then the greater accommodation of community need in service development and deployment. So if we think about how you might measure some of those, the relationship between public and government, relationship between business and orgs, and transparency. We thought we might take a look at increasing scores on customer satisfaction surveys for different targeted departments, and that can get at the relationship and value that government's providing between public and government, or the number of attendees at public events offered in coordination with the Innovation Office. If you want to get specific to how is the Innovation Office changing the relationship between public and government, you can look at some of the attendance of those events. When you look at public-private partnerships and that relationship, you could also then look at how many organizations are applying to partner with government, and then maybe the number and value of monetary and in-kind donations from businesses and organizations across the government. Transparency gets a little bit easier because it's really looking at maybe the number of documents and other pieces of information about government decision-making that are made available to the public, and so we see a lot of that right now on open data platforms where you can basically look at the volume of open data made available. I think what's a little bit nuanced about this measure is that we would really want to look at the pieces of information around government decision-making made available to the public. And then an increasing number of downloads, views, and data manipulation from government-supplied information like open data. And so those are a few of the sample measures that we propose in the report that really gets at, once you understand your mission and you've set up some goals, how you might measure those goals against what you were doing in the past.
What success factors go into building and sustaining innovation offices? We will explore this question and so much more on our special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors, returns.